South Africans doing great things.
Carlo Gibson, Tony Rothbart and Tlotlo Sereisho are my guests this evening. South Africans doing great things. They've come up with some wonderful ideas for the homeless. They've created a thing called Make Good Homeless Home. And Carlo Gibson, Tony Rothbart and Tlotlo Sereisho are my guests. And South Africans doing great things. Carlo, thank you so much for joining me, sir. Are you well this evening? Hello, Carlo.
Hi.
Yeah, good evening to you. Are you well? I can hear you loud and clear, man.
Oh, good. Good.
Thank you.
How are you doing?
I'm well. I'm all the better for having you on the show. Thank you so much for making it.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you so much. Let me also greet Tony Rothbart. Tony, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
Hi, Auburn. Thanks so much for having us on the show and giving us some airtime to talk about this.
Oh, you know what? We should have given this story much, much more airtime a long time ago. And Tlotlo Sereisho is also on the line. Tlotlo, thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time. Are you well?
Good evening, Mr. Andrew. I'm well, and thank you for having us.
Hey, tada. Carlo Gibson, I mean, you've been in this designing business for years. You've achieved international acclaim. Why are you getting involved with poor people?
I think this COVID has been teaching us a lot of lessons that we actually all get together. And I don't think we actually have much option but to be together. So That was, I think it's from COVID, actually.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think that perhaps that might be the silver lining of this dark cloud, which is COVID? Perhaps that it's made us dig into our humanity a little more?
I hope. I mean, I certainly feel it, and I know Tony definitely also feels that that's why we started doing what we're doing. And I hope I'm sure it's worldwide. We just need to see how to make things happen.
Yeah.
And I also sincerely hope that it's not just for a very short space of time, that we actually do change a little bit.
The fashion industry has always been associated with frivolity, with things that are sometimes outside of the framework of the utilitarian, right? So, that it is really the passions of fancy by those who are well healed, and fashion sometimes has a space in the minds of people that is relegated to the entertainment industry and is not taken that seriously. Why would somebody who has been as successful in that business, in that space, be taking your skills and bringing them into the space where you're actually making a jacket for the cold and for people who are perhaps not your usual target market, Carlo? Why would you even get into that place? And I suppose, let me put my question in a more different way and say, you could have taken a bit of money and donated to some cause. Why did you bring to bear your skills to this?
Well, I think if we all take our talents, and we all have talents, and apply them to making the place a better place, then we're going to live in a, we're going to obviously live in a much better place. And that was my attempt, is to say, well, I have talents. I've got skills that I've developed over the years. How can I make a place that I live in a slightly better? And I think if everyone takes up civic duty and does this in small ways, I'm just talking about very tiny ways, the place we will live in is going to be so much better.
Yeah. You chuckle a little bit, and let me bring Tony into the conversation. Tony, Carlo chuckles a little bit. He laughs, and I know why he laughs, because I suppose he feels like what he's saying is a cliche, that, when we do better for others, the world becomes a better place. But it is eternally true, isn't it?
It is, but I do think that in so many ways we're so wrapped up in our own lives that sometimes we just don't go that extra step to reach out and use our own power to do good things.
How did you get involved in this, Tony?
Well, I think for some time I've kind of felt like I've been trapped in the rut of, you know, of kind of every day just getting by month to month, and you see all these things around you, and actually I have a lot of privilege and a lot of talent and big brains, and I've been given a lot of opportunity in my life. So if I can't use that to do something better in the world around me, then I'm not helping the problem.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just being a bystander.
How did you get pulled into this? Well, how did all of this start to happen? When I say all of this, I'm talking about the Make Good Homeless initiative. How did it all begin and start to rope in people like Carlo and ultimately Tlotlo and so forth?
Well, actually, we have my brother to thank for it, because my brother's a very good friend of Carlo's. And when he found out about the things that Carlo had been doing during lockdown last year, and that was making masks and scrubs for nurses on the front lines, and doing things that he could do in order to use his talents to do good, he connected us and we met up and started having discussions about how we could do it together. Although the Homeless Home Project itself was actually an idea that had been brewing in Carlo's mind for some time, and he got involved with the University of Johannesburg, which is how Tlotlo got involved, through his studies there. He's doing his honours through the Fine Arts Department.
In order for something to ultimately deliver a practical product like you guys have done with the, I suppose, can we call it the three, I don't know, what do you call it, the three-in-one jacket, right? In order for something like that to happen, it takes a lot of tenacity, it takes a lot of determination. Of course, there's vision in the beginning, and that's what inspires us. We talk about it, we bring to bear all of our feelings of, you know, the noble aspirations we have about humanity. But it's another thing seeing it through and actually coming to the end and putting together a product. The process of the unglamorous, the non-glamorous process of actually having to do the work can sometimes snuff out the most wonderful ideas. And usually, Tony, that's because there is a very powerful reason for the existence of the very vision, right? There's a very powerful reason for the reason for the existence of the inspiration. What is it? Why did you do this?
So, I guess that is the great question. It's why not? I mean, like, here we are sitting with the ability to do stuff and people in need, and why not try? Aubrey, when we first started this, we thought if we could help 5 people, 10 people, then we had made a difference, you know. And then you get involved and you start to see that it actually is changing people's lives, making people a little warmer, making them a bit more comfortable. More than anything, making them feel heard, because the process of doing this for us was much more of a design thinking idea, like to prototype the jackets with people who live on the streets, so we could get their feedback and know that we were doing something not just to make ourselves feel better, but that it was actually functional. And that reward in itself just kind of keeps giving back to us.
I thought you were going to say to me, oh, I was a homeless person once, and, you know.
What do we know in our comfortable beds and, you know, warm homes? So I think that's what continued to feed it for us.
What went into all of this? I mean, I read the article in the Sunday Times about this and some of the things that Carlo had to say. What went into the practice of this initiative? Did you have to go and meet with homeless people? And what was that experience like?
Are you asking me or Carlo?
Yeah.
Oh, me. Oh, okay. Well, I think the idea seeded in Carlo's brain. So he did a prototype of it, and then handed it out to a couple of people. His factory is based in Forsberg, and there are a lot of people living rough in Forsberg. He gave it out to a couple of people there and had a chat, and just to see whether or not it was something that they could use or something that was functional, and then went back a couple of days later. And this is where Toto also came in. Is he helped do some of the interviews with the guys that we tried the initial prototypes on. And, and I mean, then you're just sitting with a human being, having a conversation about where he's come from and how he's ended up there and what his needs are and how this thing that we've developed from an idea, can potentially be something a little bit more than that, and that's why we called it the homeless home.
Yeah.
So that it could be some kind of home, some kind of sense of support or warmth and comfort.
Carlo, one of the things that I said, and I want to touch base with Toto in a few moments' time, but I wish that this cliche of a value system that wants to do more for other people could be bottled, right? I wish we could put it in a bottle and, you know, give us a sip of it every single day along with our vitamins or whatever the case may be. Where does it come from? Where does it come from you? Is it something that you learned at home?
You know, the kind of people that we've been meeting on this project have been so amazing, and the stories that they have to tell are so amazing, and the communities that they've made for themselves to survive in the conditions that they have to, so amazing. All these connections and all these communications, it has huge value to me. It's not like specifically sacrificing. I think if people could find a route to be involved and find out how much value there is in being involved with other people and doing small things to help out, it would be easy. And I think that's why Tony and I made the organization make good, so that creative people can link to make good to their community, to funding, so that we can make a difference.
Yeah.
So that people with good ideas can be involved, be rewarded by helping people, and there's a mechanism for that to happen.
Yeah.
You ask where it comes from, the reward is in the doing. It's not hard to do, because the reward is obviously bigger than that, much, much bigger than the input.
Yeah. And how do we encourage people to break into that joy? I mean, you speak of it as though it's a labor of love. It brings you great joy. How do we, for 1 second, 2 seconds, just turn our attention away from our busyness, our selfish issues, our real life issues, how do we for a moment begin to just look away and find the joy, the purpose, the fulfillment that comes from doing for others?
I would think maybe understanding the fact that we all on equal terms here. We all people.
Yeah.
You speak about the invisibility of homeless people, and that's kind of such a sad idea to me, and it's a truth, and it's a sad truth. Homeless people are people who, under the circumstances that they've found themselves in, happen to be homeless, which could be you or I,
yep,
under different circumstances. Understanding that is the key to engaging, I guess, because yeah. we're just people together.
Yeah, there, but for the grace of God go I. Hey, Carlo. Give us a call, 011-883-0702. I want to test the idea of the invisibility of the homeless. When was the last time you actually saw a homeless person? One. Two, when was the last time you actually spoke to a homeless person? Other than, get out of here. When was the last time you actually had a conversation? Give me a call. I'd love to hear from you. 011-883-0702. Or 021-446-0567. I'm asking you this question because they are all around us. They are all around us all the time. But have you noticed that you don't see them? Give me a call. I'd like to hear from you. 011-883-0702, 021-446-0567. As I speak to Carlo Gibson, Tony Rothbart, and Tlotlo Sereisho, and I welcome Tlotlo into the conversation. Tlotlo, and how did you get involved? Why? And what was your role in all of this?
Evening again, Andrew. Like it has been mentioned before, Carlo and I are part of UJ's Honors Fine Visual Art group. So one of the modules we have is professional practice, and within that module you have a component that requires an engagement with the community.
Right.
So for us, we were lucky because Carlo had already, based on his Grabs campaign, so he had already had something in mind. So how we came on board was through collaboration, and our collaboration with Carlo was that we had certain outcomes that we had to reach. Like it has been mentioned that we had to make contact with the said. So we didn't even call them homeless people; we called them co-researchers. So we had to make contact with the same people, and then yeah, they had to test it out how practical the sleeping bag hybrid thing is, and then we had to get feedback from them, and yeah, that's how.
Have you noticed, whenever we have to sort of relate a story about how we've helped a certain demographic, right?
Yes, yes.
That sometimes, and I see it with myself, if I'm speaking, for example, about the LGBTI community, or I'm speaking about immigrants, or I find myself thinking about, is this the correct term to be using when I'm speaking about that specific demographic? And I heard you at the moment explain that you ended up changing the name and saying, I'm not speaking of homeless people, I'm speaking of co-researchers. Tell me about that journey. Tell me about that mindset that ended changing your labeling from homeless to co-researchers. Just tell me a little bit about that.
So the community engagement was very research-based, and within research, there are methods. So the method that we took up was really done based on participation, and it had like they had like the party involved had to want it, like as the word suggests. So I guess it just had to think in terms of ethics and how historically research hasn't really. Especially if it's about people,
yeah.
The way we saw it, that we historically approached that research would be done on people, not with or through people.
Yeah.
So that's how we thought about it, and that was just in terms of ethics.
And did it change you as an individual? Did you go through a process of transformation as a person as you did this work?
Yes, because normally for you and I, we wouldn't go approach the said person and looking for help from them. So it was that shift in the thing. So it was like that shift actually. It was important outcome that that happened in the whole thing, because it was like tables were turned. They didn't come to us needing something. We had to go to them needing something,
yeah.
And which was the research, like what's the experience and things like that.
You guys ultimately came up with the design and the manufacture of this warm 3-in-1 jacket. And kudos to all three of you guys, Carlo, Tony, for coming with something practical. You know, when I'm cold, I want something warm to wear. I don't want some great ideas and stuff. And I know that the space to talk about stuff is huge. It's wide, but very often we don't do the things that are needed where they are needed. And for me, this is a project that is really efficient in that sense. You know, it just answered a particular question. What were some of the questions that you had to ask in your research, Tlotlo, that gave you the ammunition to give to Carlo and Tony to then design this particular jacket?
So the whole process started early towards mid-May. So that, because like in our hemisphere, that's when the season starts to change. So it was becoming cold. So, I mean, the most practical solution to homelessness is really supplying people with homes and roofs over their heads. So we had to think around the fact that students, we don't have housing budgets, but we have all this creativity inside us. And it was also just, you had to remember that creativity, as much as it's about doing nice things, is also just about solving problems.
Yeah. Tony, was that the thinking? I mean, you know, I see very often, because of the work that I do, an NGO will be started. And then it has all so many visions. It wants to do all sorts of different things. You guys seemed to have been very focused. There was a very laser-like focus that was aimed at producing something practical, a jacket that would be... Was that the thinking to push away all other attractive ideas that you could sort of manifest in this process?
So this project itself was kind of the impetus of starting the nonprofit. And we decided to build the nonprofit around what we would like to do going forward. And that was about connecting communities, creative industries, and funding. So to be able to identify a need, and through the skills and supports of artisans and makers in the creative industries, to use design thinking to develop and create innovative solutions and simultaneously support South African, small South African businesses in the creative sector. So that's the idea behind the nonprofit itself. But the Homeless Home was, in essence, the project that we've sort of taken as our primary project to sort of push the nonprofit, or to start the nonprofit.
Yeah. I'll talk.
We would totally be open to collaborate with anybody else who has amazing ideas, and obviously as this project will then grow its own trajectory into its own into the world, we will then pick up on other projects and try and run those in the same way.
011-883-0702-021-446-0567. We'll talk a little bit more about the Homeless Home Initiative and all of the other appendages to it. But I'm really loving the focus that delivered a practical product. And I suppose, Carlo, that is the one thing that would have kept you focused, yeah? Wanting to come up with a practical product after the whole design process?
The design... Yeah, it has to be totally practical. That's the designer's job, is to solve problems.
Yeah.
And the problem, these are practical problems.
Yeah.
We're not trying to solve homelessness. We're just trying to give a little help to the people who unfortunately are in the position of being homeless.
Yeah.
And if we're going to invest in making a product, it's best that we get it to the most practical point because the investment is going to be made either way. So we did a lot of research, as Tosla said, and we spoke to a lot of guys, and that was such a good learning for me.
Yeah.
And a lot of the practicalities also come from the people on the street. They're telling us what they need.
Yeah.
They're feeding us information, and then we're translating the information with the skills that we have.
I want to talk a little bit about that practical need, the solution that you guys came up with, and what informed it. But I've got a couple of calls on 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. When was the last time you saw a homeless person and talked to a homeless person? What was the conversation about? I'd love to hear from you. Mariah is in Sandton. Good evening to you, Mariah.
Good evening to you, Aubrey. Nice as ever to chat to you. Aubrey, I've got a bit of a cynical comment to make, and it's not to, you know, downgrade what the extreme people are doing. But what I'd like to know is, I mean, homeless people have been there, and I have seen them there, and yes, I do see them where I work, and I sometimes go across the road to the local supermarket to sometimes get me some lunch, and I'm inundated with, you know, people. I don't know if they're homeless, but I presume they are, you know, asking for bread and this and that, and it's difficult for me then to go and get me something to eat when I've got more than enough, thank God. And these people do not have enough, I presume they don't. So invariably, I have to give them something. But that's not the point.
But you don't. See, but you don't. The point is I'm saying that the point is that you don't have to. The fact that your conscience... The point I'm trying to make, Mariah, is that it's because you have a living conscience that you feel that way. But practically speaking, you can just walk on. Isn't it true?
I know. A lot of my colleagues say as much, and they say just go to, you know, what have you, get lost. I must admit, sometimes when I come and go, and I feel, oh my goodness, I just can't trace this. You know, the guilt. And also, you give to one person, you've got like a whole lot of others kind of like, you know, staring at you in the eye, you know, like, what about me? And, you know, and I kind of feel sure that I can't rescue, you know, everyone, you know, I can't. But anyway, obviously the cynical point I'm wanting to make is that homeless people have been there for a long time, unfortunately. What is it about COVID-19 that has now inspired this sort of humanitarian emotion to, you know, give to others and so forth. And I'm saying it's cynical because I know this, but because it's almost like, you know, I know that COVID-19 has also had an enormous negative impact on the whole fashion industry and so forth because, well, it has for a whole lot of reasons. So is it maybe to attract some real positive attention, you know, to the fabricators, manufacturers of this? Because...
I get the cynicism. All right. Okay. All right. I'm not going to answer the question. I've got an answer, but let my guest answer that question. The point is that you don't have to give to the people that you give to, and you do. You don't have to, but you do. Mariah and Santon. Carlo, are you guys trying to get some sort of cheap, cheap publicity out of this whole thing? Asks Mariah.
Well, I'd like to probably pose that question back to her. Does she know anything about me and what I do? And if she does know anything about me and what I do, where did she get that information from?
Yeah, I think sometimes it's very, very difficult for people to believe that people can be purely selfless. And that's sad. That's sad that people can have that kind of thinking. But let me take Tony and hear what Tony has to say about Mariah's comments.
Well, I think that's why we formed this nonprofit, because this isn't about Carlo's business. He just happens to have the skills and he came up with the idea, but it's not about drawing attention to him or his business. It's about us all getting together to do something that's quite separate. In order, this particular project happens to be fashion-based, but our intention is to engage with any creative, any artisan, any maker in order to try and draw them in to help make good, to help make a difference.
Yeah, it's a very sad question, Tony and Carlo. And, sorry.
Can I also actually just thinking about it for a little bit? Can I answer something to that? If I wanted to get publicity for fashion and for the things I do, I'll do it through fashion. It would be a more direct approach to getting the publicity. Putting a jacket on a homeless person doesn't have money to buy things. They are of no financial gain to me. People don't look at homeless people, so I'm not getting any value from that. To get publicity for fashion things, they do it the direct way, do it through fashion.
Yeah.
Fashion has got its own mechanism to get publicity, which is a whole lot easier than helping homeless people.
Jojo?
I was just going to add on to what it is about COVID-19 that sort of inspired this campaign. And I mean, I also had to think about it, and I guess it could be said that with COVID-19, a lot of us having to stay inside, we had time to do a lot of inside work, and by saying that, I feel like it would then make sense to say that once you have done inside work, then you can look out into the outside. So yeah. I don't know if that's what inspired Carlo, but that's what I got from
him. Sure. I think you know, a lot of us live in an environment where there is such a trust deficit. You know, people do things for nefarious reasons. We are beset by the reality of corruption in this country and so forth. I suppose people do get cynical, but I think that the COVID-19 moment has made us all stop. It's made us all really stop and think about our humanity, our mortality, about all of this. And if it hasn't done so, then it might. it might, and it might do it in the saddest of ways. I want to keep saying to you guys, thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you for the reasons why you are doing it. Let's take another call from Tinyiko in Northcliffe. Hi, Tinyiko.
Hi, Brobri. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Tinyiko. What's on your mind, sir?
What I just want to say, the first thing, Brobri, is that I just want to say that, I mean, good job to your guests and to you and your team,
yep.
The fellow producer. That's a good thing because it's never too late to make a difference.
Sure. Absolutely.
So that's my take. And also, even to just add up, before I can just tell you when did I meet, like, maybe one of the homeless people.
Yes.
To just add, because I think somebody just called now and trying to attack your guest, saying that, I mean, it was cheap publicity. And actually, this happens most of the times, you know. Not that I'm supporting your guest, but I've been saying this, you know, in person, because most of the times when you want to do a good thing or help,
yep.
And then you go public,
yep.
First thing, showcased, you're going to be attacked by the public.
Yep.
And if it's not by the public, even by the same people you are trying to help.
Yep.
You know, it happens all the time. That's the reason why a lot of people, they are afraid to go public when they are helping.
Indeed.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's unfortunate.
And the reality, Dinyiko, is that Carlo, Tony, and Tlotlo didn't even want this interview. They weren't looking for this interview. They didn't come knocking on our door to say, please interview us because we've designed a 3-point jacket for the homeless. We went after them. Yeah. We chased them. They weren't looking for the publicity. So yeah, it Mariah's call is a little unfortunate and sad. Dinyiko in Northcliffe, thanks very much for your call. Much appreciated. Brenda in Annandale. Hi.
Hi, Aubrey and the listeners and your visitors there.
Thank you so much, Brenda. What's on your mind?
Aubrey, we've got now a concept that we want to start as a pilot project because we are feeding, we are giving clothes, but we are not worried after we left them in the street, giving them feed. But they are so fearless. They are so fearless people, harmless. And we can't sleep because it's so cold outside. Now, we've started with this project at what NPO is now almost from 2014. With a safe our environment. And then we want to bring the homeless in, and then they start with our vegetable gardens and so on. But now we are starting with a problem. We do not have like containers, and then they have the place and like to have a safe.
There's okay.
A lot of bugs.
Let's do this, Brenda, because I don't want to take attention away from what my guests are about. I've invited them, and I don't want to move away from the reason why I've invited them. You would like for us to talk a little bit about your project sometime, yeah?
No, because I like the visitors that's there.
Yeah.
That you invited.
Yeah.
Because we're always running a blanket run and giving them blankets and so on. That's why I said that.
Ah,
that
I see.
Initiative.
So how can you connect with them for the jackets? I understand. Okay. All right.
Yes,
so I'm going to ask them to give us their contact details. Will you take those contact details and maybe make contact with them?
Yes.
All right. Brenda in Annandale, much appreciated. Thabo in JP, hi.
Hi, I'm Dubs. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. Thabo, what's on your mind, man?
I just want to congratulate your guests for the
work
that they are doing.
Yeah.
Honestly, this was not about publicity as far as I'm listening. Even the fact that they even changed the name, they didn't want to put their project directly on Street TV.
Sure.
And so this is a Street TV. They say it's called, what are they said?
Oh, Thabo. Listen, the line is really, really bad, but the simple message there is thank you to your guests for the good work that they are doing. I've spoken to Brenda. Tony, I mean, you hear the various sentiments that are behind the work that you guys are doing and so forth. Where is it all going? What is the vision for Make Good and Homeless Home?
Well, I guess the vision is for us to be able to keep making good and to keep trying to draw people into our intention, which is to use our abilities and skills to change people's lives and to connect it as much as we can with issues that we have in our communities and to try and find the funding in order to make things happen. Based on this intention.
Yeah. Mohammed in Bosmond?
Hello?
Yeah, hi, Mohammed. Go ahead.
Fine. I want to compliment and salute these people for the wonderful work they are doing.
Yep.
You are bound to find people criticizing you. Don't let that put you down because I'm also in the same field. And of course, remember one thing, we are born to serve.
Yep.
If you don't have, there are humans around, but there's no humanity. Sad to say, carry on with the wonderful work and Almighty help you guys.
Mohammed in Bosman, thanks very much. Carlo, your final word in all of this. I mean, Mohammed saying, listen, you're going to get the haters, brother, but you got to keep going. Your final word.
Firstly, thank you, Mohammed. Of course, it's kind words. Final word is, please, everyone, just make a little effort with the people around you and the little things that you can do. It only takes small things to make a big difference.
Yeah. Dudlo, your final word?
Hello?
Your final word?
My final word is actually more of a statement or comment. In terms of the extent of our help and, like, to what extent did we get it right or whatever, I would just like to say that I worked with Butana and CD, so they were the co-researchers that I made contact with. And like I said, it was just about to be this cold. And the jackets, the people that received the jackets, they received them warmly and they actually functional and they actually using them. So like Mohammed said, yeah, the haters gonna have to hate, we'll just protect.
I'm loving it, my brother. I'm loving it. Tony, finally, you get the last word. And how do those who want to help get involved in the initiative and assist you guys?
So we have a Backer Buddy page. They can go onto Backer Buddy and look for the Homeless Home Project. Or otherwise, probably the best thing is to go to our website, which is www.make-good.co.za. Or to email us info@make-good.co.za.
I usually stand up when I say these words as I salute you guys for doing the work that you're doing. Don't ever tire. Don't ever be discouraged by the words of the haters. In fact, when the haters hate, that shows that you guys are doing a great job. I hope that you guys keep working and doing the work that you're doing. And you three, you make us proud to call ourselves South Africans. Thank you so much, Tony Rothbart, Carlo Gibson, and Kluto. Thank you so much. We really, really appreciate you.